go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Root beer is cold, and so am I, and we are off and running on this, the fifth day of January 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live, and that's where you go if you would like to pop into the chat room, picking yourself out a screen name and a password, jumping in and being greeted by the likes of Anatole and Earther and VT Blom. More to come later, alongside longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although a spacing guild master, has thus far not folded space to become anything but Sparky. Sometimes even spacing guild masters like to remain in a sort of quiet, zen-like state of quiescence, right? Yeah, okay, good. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Friday on the front porch, hot diggity damn. The phones are working, as we proved last night. And as Chris from Germany pointed out, it's probably all because of the Beethoven. Yes. And being as it's how it's Friday on the front porch, I'll say this now. If you want to participate in Friday on the front porch, here's how it works. Here in about an hour or so, Sparky will moderate. That means you just send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, S-P-A-R-K-Y-D-U-N-C, Sparky Dunk, and he'll show you the breadcrumb trail and point you to the right quadrant in the sky where he'll be shining the Bob signal. And if you just follow along, the next thing you know, you'll be engaged in the extraordinary ordinary roundtable that defines Fridays around hereabouts each and every end of the week. Okay? Okay. And one of these days we'll do, I don't know, we'll do a fundraiser and work on bringing back some sort of other telephony. We can do that. It's just the gizmo costs money. And that's an equipment thing. Let's see. So where do we stand at the end of the week? Well, it's been a tough week for keeping the horn on the air. Many weeks like this and there won't be a horn anymore. Sorry, it's just the truth. As far as thanking subscribers go, a big thank you goes out to this evening to James in Illinois. And James is our lone subscriber for the fifth day of the month. If you'd like to become a subscriber, this would be a great day to be one. Just go to the Contribute tab at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, click on it, and check that little box that says Make This a Recurring Monthly Donation, and put in whatever amount you, whatever works for you. In the long run, our goal is to someday have 400 $10 a month subscribers, or the mathematical equivalent thereof, if, like, say, oh, I don't know, George Soros was to click that little box and put in, oh, say, $3,500 bucks or something like that. We'd have subscriptions covered, and fundraising would be covered. Here's how we're working it this month, just to see if we can come up with a situation where there's not sarnasted much fundraising going on. The theory was to raise our ordinary amount of funds every evening. And then somewhere around the third week of the month, that should make it possible for us to close the month with no fundraising at all. So far, it's proving not to be a very good idea at all. Why do I say that? Well, goose egg last night, and that coupled with the fundraising goal tonight and what was left over from prayer meeting Wednesday. Well, it's a little scary when it gets up here like this, but our fundraising goal for the evening is $535. $535. You know, it's those little $5 is that makes the cipher, and it's goddamn annoying. But, you know, we'll just say 10 at 53 or 53 folks at 10 bucks a piece or one at 535 or two at 267.50. And you can figure it out the rest of the way down from there. It's easy to find the PayPal interface. The links are at both headonradionetwork.com and headon.live. Click on them. Do whatever you want to do to help keep independent, commercial-free broadcasting on the air. Or, of course, you could always become a Patreon subscriber over at patreon.com/Bob Kincaid. We've lost a couple of Patreon subscribers because of Patreon's rather rapacious financial behavior that was announced last week. Or last month. And they then backed off, but it was too late. So patreon.com/Bob Kincaid or either one of the PayPal interfaces. You can get to all of it by either going to headon.live or by going to headonradionetwork.com. All right, that sounds like a good idea. Thank you, Hung Like Jesus. Hey, Bob, put me down for 40, and let's see if we can kick this thing off tonight. Groovy. So that is awesome. That gets us down below the $500 mark. That gets us down to... $495. $495 to go, and we're done, and we're okay for the first week of a brand new year. Otherwise, we'll close the first week of a brand new year in a hole. So $495 to go with Hung Like Jesus leading the way. All right, wonderful. Thank you very kindly. We also have a challenge, three challenges coming in to get things going. Thanks. Wow, you guys are awesome. Mike in Cascadia with a $25 challenge. Glenn with a $20 challenge for four $5 brand new contributors. We need four people who've never contributed to keeping the program on the air at $5 a piece. Four of those. Thank you to Glenn. Thank you very, very kindly. And finally, Ralphs with a $25 challenge. So, all told, there is $70 worth of challenges on the table. That would equal out to $140 off of the outstanding amount. So, 25. That'd take us down to $325 to go. So, hopefully, somebody will jump in and knock down those four $5 challenges. Brand new. If you've never kicked in to support the program before, this is a great time to do it. You'll double your money. So thank you very, very, very kindly. Henry just jumped in. Thank you, Henry. Maybe we're working on one of those little Friday on the Front Porch miracles. It would be awesome if we were. Henry just took it down to $445. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Henry. That's huge. I cannot express that well enough. Thank you to VT Blom. Thank you very kindly. That takes us down to $405. Hoo-wee! This is exciting. Another challenge coming in. Howdy doody, says Steve in New York, checking in from the Big Apple. Let's put us a $10 challenge on the table right off the bat. By the way, do we have a far burning on the porch, or should I bring my space heater? You know what? I'd bring the space heater. We got a far, but it ain't much of a far, because the far ain't taking much of the starch out of the cold right now. So let's see. Henry jumped in and took care of Mike in Cascadia and Ralph's challenge. So that's done. We've got a challenge for $20, contributors, courtesy of Glenn, and a $10 challenge, courtesy of Steve in New York. The $10 challenge knocked down by VT Blom. That's awesome. And then a little more on top of that. So we're making headway. We are making headway. Let's see, program note, just so folks will know, I mean, this isn't one of those don't bother to be here kind of things, because I'll be here, but I just, you know, I like to let people know when I have religious obligations, and one of those is coming up on Monday. Yes, Monday is a religious holiday for my people, and as a consequence, the program will only be 2 hours long. On Monday, the 8th of January, the program will begin just like clockwork at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but it will close at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time so that I can then engage in the requisite religious observances of sitting here and yelling the magic incantation, Roll Tide, Roll, as I participate in the ritual viewing of the national championship game, in which the University of Alabama Crimson Tide squares off against some football team from Georgia. Okay, so that's where that all stands. Just like I said, more folks wandering in. Good evening, Bill of Rights Man. Nice to see you in the room this evening. Happy New Year to you. Haven't seen you since the year turned over. So that's pretty much all of the stuff going on. Hey, it's another miracle. Bless my soul. Getting you 5x5 on the HQ MP3 stream via White Rose Society. So, well, knock wood. I'm gonna try it on the table, try it on the back of my head, and we're good to go there. Yes. And we have a new first of all, I want to make sure that we are all well set as the new year proceeds. From a nutritional standpoint, that's why I need to tell you this evening about something really fabulous from the hardworking periodontic peripatetic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter. That's right, Cuckoo Kush Kush. Cuckoo Kush Kush from Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter. I bet you don't, I know you don't get enough Kush Kush in your diet, and no, it's not blueberry kush or bubblegum kush or any of that kind of kush. This is the ancient Caribbean kush. This is Kush Kush of the Caribbean islands. It is one of the preferred micro species of yam. Yes, yams. And here at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, our hardworking periodontic peripatetic scientists have come up with a proprietary, vegan, non-GMO, free-range, cruelty-free, cage-free, delightful blend of Kush Kush that will make sure you get your daily requirement of Kush Kush goodness each and every day. That's right, Cuckoo Kush Kush from Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter. You know, I've never cared much for Kush Kush, but thanks to Cuckoo Kush Kush from Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, I can make sure that every blessed day is a Cuckoo Kush Kush kind of day, with just a little handful of capsules, courtesy of Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter. Yes. So remember, if you'll spring for a 3-month supply of Cuckoo Kush Kush, from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. We will include with your order a little bundle of meaningless test strips that you can use to test your cuckoo kush kush in the privacy of your own home with nobody looking or with everybody watching. Either way is fine by us because the results are going to be the same in either instance. That is, you're going to find out what we already know at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter. In fact, that cuckoo kush kush has no nutritional value whatsoever, because cuckoo kush kush from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter is just another bullshit nutritional supplement like they hustle on all the other professional radio programs, because you can't be a professional radio program unless you've got a bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle. Cuckoo kush kush from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Accept no substitutes, post no bills, use no hooks. This side up, that side down. FOB, COD, CUSH, CUSH. Cuckoo, 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 kachoo. Cuckoo kush kush. Only from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. And we have a new feature. It debuted last night. We're calling it This Day in Horn History. Yes, This Day in Horn History for January the 6th, 2018. For today's edition, we'll take you all the way back to Friday, January the 6th, 2006, when the internet-only version of the horn wasn't even a year old. Yes. Bob opens the program admitting he reviles the fact that it's Friday, that he says is due to the fact that there will be no conversation taking place for 2 whole days. He then shares an email from a first-time listener, Mark, from California. The premise of the email is a recent story where Walmart.com cross-promotes the movie The Life of Martin Luther King, and when you search for Planet of the Apes, in other words, back then in January of 2006, if you searched for Planet of the Apes, it would also suggest you might want to watch The Life of Martin Luther King. Bob moves on, observing that the Walmart computer system didn't accomplish that level of racism by itself. It had help. That's a quote. Computer genius Ben calls in to explain that it doesn't take much for the Walmart computer system to become racist, depending on who's browsing and what items they tend to order. Quote, it only took one or two Klansmen to mess it up for them. End quote. Editorial note, this is another one of those cases where the horn is about 10 years ahead of society. If you recall, in March of 2016, it took Microsoft's artificial intelligence chatbot, Tay, less than 24 hours to become uncontrollably racist and misogynistic before Microsoft had to shut it down. Bob then poses a question to computer genius Ben. Do I recall it correctly that the guy holding the Get a Brain Moran sign was wearing a St. Louis Cardinals sweater? Bob worries that China's recent announcement to diversify its foreign reserves away from the U.S. dollar worries about that. Today our butthole should be puckered. This is a quote. Today our butthole should be puckered up because of this announcement. And if you think George Bush has screwed us so far, you don't know much about screwing. Agnes, the Viking warrior princess, who's live in the studio back then with Bob, weighs in on the matter and worries about a coming depression. Bob then delivers a salacious scorn to a South Tulsa Baptist bishop who was caught driving up to an Oklahoma City policeman in a 2005 Mercedes-Benz and rolled down the window and said, "Hey Joe, me love you long time." It's then time for Bob to rail against Jerry Falwell's Sunday Justice Sunday rally in support of Supreme Court Justice Sammy Alito. Present in the rally will be Tony Perkins. Bob explains, a former insurance salesman who bought his original cold calling list from the Klan. It was true then, it's still true today. Bob then closes the filibuster and moves on to the rest of the program. At this point, back in January 6th, 2006, Friday on the Front Porch wasn't a thing yet. And that concludes
This Day in Porn History.
For January 6th, 2018. I've taken to looking forward to those most every evening. Okay, so let's check some. Let's check back in on the email. Yeah, here we go. We're started already. Daggummit. Randy wants to know, you're not going to tell me where to put my kush-kush, are you? Quit telling us where to put our kush-kush, Bob. Listen, they're in capsule form. You're supposed to take them in your mouth and swallow them. But once it leaves here and gets to you, what you do with your cuckoo kush-kush is entirely your business. Because since it has no nutritional value whatsoever, it's completely inert, and you can stick them up your nose for all if you want. Yes. Okay. Are we clear about that? Oh, wow. A question coming in from Glenn saying, let's hope for those four new contributors. Once you get started, it's hard to stop. Well, that's true. We are an acquired taste here at the Horn. But it's one that you can, it's one that becomes highly habit-forming. I can guarantee it as the host, and so it is also said to me by a number of members of the community. But a trivia question and a blast from my past with courtesy of Glenn. Do you recall a bar in Morgantown named the Underground Railroad? Oh, yes, I do recall the Underground Railroad. I recall the Underground Railroad a lot. I spent a lot of evenings in the weekend evening because it was the hippest bar in town, really. I mean, there were a bunch of student dives and things like that, but you were the among other things, the Deadheads gravitated to the Underground Railroad in Morgantown. Glenn noting our band played there a couple of times. And the band's name was? And later on, the Underground Railroad would go on to be renamed or reincarnated as the Nyabingi Dance Hall. But it still retained much of its singular character with the new name. Oh, let's see here. It had to happen, didn't it? Yes, the urban prospector asking, will Cuckoo Kush Kush help me lift my hunting spear? Why, it will not only help you lift your hunting spear, it will make it ever so much easier for you to thrust your hunting spear at the mastodon of your choice. Yes. Well, you know, I guess, Billable Rick, you and I will start speaking to each other again on Tuesday. Subject line, roll over the tide. Just so you know, Steve from Georgistan and I will be rooting for the underdog dogs on Monday night, although I fear that Alabama will win. Happy Friday, Billable Rick. Look, I'm taking nothing for granted. It depends on which Georgia team shows up. I mean, you have to admire their determination to keep pounding away and not give in to that team from Oklahoma, who really had no business in the Final Four anyway, but, you know, we're not counting. You know, that was just a little lesson for the Oklahoma football team, that if you really want to be national championship caliber, at some point in time, the Big 12 has got to be something besides Oklahoma and 10 other teams, or 11 other teams. and that at some point in time, the Big 12 might want to consider learning how to play some punishing defense. Because that's the frustration with being a Mountaineer fan. You got to watch Big 12 football now, and it's just, it's 12 teams that have no interest in defense whatsoever, just running up and down the field trying to put basketball scores on the board. I'll leave it at that before I lose the entire Horn Family Community Congregation this Friday on the front porch. Okay. And we've just about, by the way, we've gotten down underneath the $400 mark for fundraising for this Friday on the Front Porch Miracle. And that would take us to $395. And we're still looking for those four brand new, never contributed before, $5 $5 contributors. If you want to make it a $5 subscription, that's cool too. So there's that. Note coming in from Ron and Raleigh early on. Help me out, says Ron. I've been checking the USDA website, and I have yet to find USDA requirements for horn supplements. Could you point me to the correct page? Well, we live in, it's Trump's world, and we just live in it. And so since Geezer Disgustus has declared his disgust for all things regulatory, we here at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, have elected to ignore all regulations of any form because you can't regulate nothing. There are no regulations for horn products because the Horn Nutraceuticals products at Horn Labs on Twitter, because, in fact, since they have no nutritional value or any value at all, actually, whatsoever, well, doggone it, you can't regulate them. And that's how you beat Big Gummint, right there. Okay, so note coming in from Marty. Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, you weren't the only person I know who didn't like it, and I think all of you lowered my expectations just enough to where I didn't hate it. And while you may not have mentioned anything specific, your tone gave away quite a bit. My tone? You can do spoilers with a tone? By the way, now I can't do that. There are still people who haven't seen it. But yes, that was, I agree, Marty, one of the most stupid things that has ever occurred. That was the most stupid thing that has ever occurred in the entire Star Wars franchise. So let's be clear about that. Oh, okay. I remember that. The name of the band at the Underground Railroad was Farm Use. Glenn says, we put the name on the side of our van so we didn't have to register or insure it. Ha! And played the Mountain Lair twice, too. Then it's almost a guarantee that I saw you guys. Free music at the Mountain Lair? Oh, there was once upon a time back then, back in those days, the best, coldest, cheapest beer in all of Morgantown was to be had in the basement of the Mountain Lair and at a little place called the Blue Tick Tavern, where a guy who had actually had a real job painting mail pouch chewing tobacco ads on barns all over Appalachia had come to West Virginia, had come to Morgantown, had come to the Mountain Lair, which was the student union, and painted a mail pouch sign on the wall of that dingy little beer joint down in the basement, where beer was cold and cheap, and the camaraderie was like nothing that before or since. Meanwhile, wow, you know about this, Todd? Todd in South Carolina says, subject line, dance hall. The Nyabingi Dance Hall, a.k.a. Sizzle, will fix all your woes. Todd, how can you possibly know about the Nyabingi? I saw Rasta Rafiki play there, and it was awesome. Okay, so that takes care of some email for the moment. and it's time we probably got down to business as we continue to work through the evening and hope and pursue that much hoped for Friday on the front porch miracle. Because I'm gonna be making a propane and kerosene run tomorrow, and that's gonna hurt. But I'll put it bluntly. If you would like for your humble host to actually deliver a radio broadcast without hearing his teeth chatter, then yeah, getting a Friday on the front porch miracle pulled together is a pretty damn good idea. Well, that's a pretty enjoyable little bit of shilly-shallying we've done over the last 31 minutes or so. So we should probably adopt the thinking of the punchline to that old joke, and note that the coffee break is over. Back on our heads. Because there's a lot of that available to us this evening. I am going to try to avoid the shiny sparkly thing. Okay, no, not shiny, not sparkly, but you know what I mean. I'm going to see if I can avoid jumping right into the Donald J. Trump Memorial cesspool here at the just straight, you know, no. Because there's some other stuff. And it's a little Trumpy, but it has more real world bearing on you and me. Now, I live in Appalachia, and I live in a place where you can't really rely on the power grid, and you can't really rely on much in the way of public utilities. There's no reason you would know this except for listening to me, but the fact of the matter is there are still a lot of people in Kanawha County and other counties in West Virginia who won't use the public water supply because they got burned, which is another way of saying poisoned, in the Great Freedom Disaster a few years back that happened about this time of year. And they have not felt particularly good about the water situation since. So here, we keep a lot of bottled water. Not because we're snobs, and certainly because we're not the kind of folks to shell out $36 a gallon for water, but my God, I trust you saw this. This is one of those things where you look up and go, I'm in the wrong business. Beth in Dallas first hipped me to this story from over at Gizmodo, a story going back to the end of December. Raw water is for rich idiots. Tom McKay writing, rich people have had a good-ass 2017 with the stock market and the accumulated net wealth of the top 10% of earners skyrocketing and the passage of a radical tax bill designed to inflate their wallets further. So, in yet another infuriating sign of how they're planning to blow all that money on things like hideous Coke-branded shirts, hydrofoils, and ways to impale birds, our aristocratic overlords have apparently discovered you can drink unfiltered water and are busy convincing themselves it's worth at least $6 a gallon. Per a report in the New York Times on Friday that manages to be unusually irritating even by the Times' rich people trend piece standards, and that's saying something, raw water, no really, raw water, is now somehow a thing on the West Coast and other pockets around the country. I am not beating on San Francisco here because I adore San Francisco. My three favorite cities in the United States are, in no particular order, San Francisco, New Orleans, and Pittsburgh. But raw water is a thing. And in San Francisco, one brand of unfiltered, unsterilized spring... No, wait, that's the wrong voice, isn't it? In San Francisco, one brand of unfiltered, unsterilized spring water goes for $36.99 for a 2.5-gallon container, with refills going for $14.99 a pop. It has a vaguely mild sweetness, a nice smooth mouthfeel, nothing that overwhelms the flavor profile, Rainbow Grocery shift manager Kevin Freeman told the New York Times. Bottled water is controversial. We've curtailed our water selection, but this is totally outside that whole realm. Another store down in San Diego, Liquid Eden, offers options including fluoride-free, chlorine-free, and mineral electrolyte alkaline drinking water. It goes for $2.50 a gallon. And one startup called Zero Mass Water offers $4,500 home systems called Source, which pull unfiltered water from the air. In other words, it's the condenser water that usually drips into a bucket underneath window unit air conditioners all over Appalachia. I am so going to get a tanker truck and load up some water from southern West Virginia and take it to San Diego and San Francisco and sell it for about $15, $20 a gallon as a designer boutique artisanal water in designer colors. Because it comes in water at West Virginia, comes in different fucking colors. But I mention that because, well, we've always got some jugs of water around the house. We used to have a wonderful well here until the coal industry destroyed it and turned it into a slimy, sludgy soup that comes up from about 72 feet below the surface. I could take that to San Francisco and San Diego. It's a sort of an earth tone red, and like it's a great color coordination with your earth tone dinnerware made from cruelty-free, vegan, gluten-free ceramics. Yes. Ron didn't see the story. Ron and Raleigh with the subject line, "Are you shitting me? Raw fucking water? Is that anything like raw milk? This is nature's way of saying you got too much goddamn money. And not enough brains." Yes, while people in various poor parts of the country are desperate for clean water, there are people with more dollars than cents who are paying for raw water when one good swig of the stuff may very well have you shitting for a month of Sundays. No, our water here is not designer water, Brother Deacon A. So the water we keep around here is distilled water. So... And we do. At any given time here, there will be about 20 gallons of distilled water here at the mansion. We do that on the theory of 1 gallon per person per day. And that's about, and as such, that's a week's supply. And I'm going to suggest here, and not, you know, look, I'm not hustling any bucket pudding. The nutritional supplements we talk about here are entirely imaginary. Although if the mere thought of them, it makes your love life better. Well, we'll certainly take credit for that. James says, "Hey, Valley Boy, no one in San Francisco talks like that, and Mayor Gavin Newsom stopped the bottled water thing at City Hall several years ago." Well, he has not stopped the designer raw water thing that's going on right now. At the Rainbow Grocery. Maybe it just needed to stay. Okay, so like the Rainbow Grocery. Okay. So the other voice was for like San Diego, but like for the Rainbow Grocery, this is probably the right voice, you know, because my eyes are almost shut. You know, just like, yeah, totally at peace. Stunned. Anyway, it's a good idea. And, you know, quit telling us how to be prepared for disaster, Bob. Okay, because you want to take your advice from Alex Jones and Jim fucking Baker? All right, cool. But if you work on the rough estimate of a gallon of water a day, which is sort of a minimum, it's not a terrible idea to have a two-week supply. If your public water system fails and they can't get something going by week number two, you've got bigger problems than water. But, yeah, a two-week supply, for us, it would be 40 gallons, but it becomes kind of hard to store. And then there's the whole sustainability question about the jugs. But you get the sputtering in the background is the bottle of propane running out, speaking of sustainability. But you do that, and you know, the other stuff that's around here, there's always about 10 pounds of dry beans and an equal amount of rice here, protein, starch, carbs. Couple of gallons of canola oil, some olive oil, and yeah, there's summer and winter. There's a few of those bottles of propane because there's a propane stove. I keep charcoal around for the smoker, but you know what? We've had power outage situations where we did a week's worth of cooking on an outdoor grill. Now, everybody can't do the same thing because everybody doesn't live on a beaten up, worn out, broken down house on an acre of ground in almost level west by Cold Trump Virginia. But I read something earlier today that sort of reinforced in me the sense that it would be a good thing to make sure that you've got that around. I mean, if a winter hurricane, which we're not going to call it, we're going to call it a bomb cyclone because that's more that induces curiosity in the Carotene Caligula. Well, what's the point in having bomb hurricanes if you can't drop one on North Korea? I want the mother of all bomb cyclones. That's what I want. But weather events, hurricanes, power outages, earthquakes, floods, mountains falling down onto interstates in Yakima, Washington. There's a lot of reasons you might want to, or coming near to falling down. It hasn't fallen down yet. There's a lot of reasons you want to have some basic essentials around. And this is a really good reason for having some basics around. I was just doing my thing, reading the news, compiling the stack, the stuff that I consider for any given program day. And I ran across this little gem. What's that, Ron? The Rainbow Grocery? Hey, Bob, is that where Tree Beard and Celery are employed? Haven't heard from them in a while. That's exactly where they're employed, Ron. And, of course, Tree Beard and Celery are like, totally into, like, consensus-based decision-making and leaderless movements. Right, and celery always speaks with an upspeak and a vocal fry. Right, yeah. But I ran across this Oh, dear. Ron also pointing out, you'll be happy to know, Bob, that Rian Johnson finished the original Tri-Trilogy with The Last Jedi. He'll be the director of the new trilogy. Doesn't that just warm the cockles of your heart? It does, because I know that I'll keep my money in my pocket this time. Fool me once, shame on you. Not going to get suckered in for, no, really, this one's The Last Jedi, we promise. Not gonna. And thanks to Charlene and Jack, we just took the fundraising goal down from $395 to $370, down to $320. This is getting kind of exciting. Thank you, Jack, and thank you, Charlene, very, very kindly for keeping independent commercial-free progressive radio on the air. I'm going to get to the story in a minute, but somehow or another, the rainbow grocery water and the Eden thing, and I had a feeling we would hear from Scott and Punky down San Diego way. Garden of Eden water. Scott and Punky noting, years ago, when I used to watch Paul and Jan Crouch on TBN, they had a guest on the show who was there to hawk Garden of Eden water, no joke. The guy's spiel was that this was specially filtered water from an isolated spring that was electrically charged or something to replicate the pre-fall of mankind water that Adam and Eve enjoyed. I forget the supernatural properties of the stuff was supposed to have, but he had a comprehensive list of them. I guess you could call this stuff designer water, in that it was designed to quickly separate the gullible flock from their hard-earned money. Yes, exactly. And now it's left the religion industry, and it's moved into the trendy streets of San Francisco and San Diego and other parts. Barbecue Todd in South Carolina, subject line Westworld. Bob, are you the entity that is keeping the new episode of Westworld from appearing? No, that ain't me, because I want it too. I expect it sometime around the inauguration of Ivanka Trump. That would be January the 20th, 2025. Won't this day in horn history be a real blast on January the 20th, 2025? If that happens, I want a check. Just saying. I mean, no, we're going to quit fooling around. If that one turns out to be right, by God, I want the Gulfstream 5. I want the Maybach. I want the Porsche. The Olympic-sized swimming pool. The masseur for Agnes. But a prophet is never welcome in his own land. Whatever. So anyway, I was just going about my business, preparing for the program this evening, and I ran across a headline that kind of made me go, wait, what, huh? I mean, it's not really a surprise, I guess. Upspeak? Vocal fry. But still, you see something like this, and I mean, I haven't seen anything like this since I was a little kid. And when we were worrying about this kind of stuff when I was a little kid, it was mostly about tornadoes. Maybe that's because they were trying to protect us from the harsh reality that on any given day, we were toast if things were to suddenly get terribly, 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 hatefully, viciously, murderously, radioactively real. Because, see, where I grew up was about 18 miles from what was then at the time the single largest nuclear reactor in the United States, namely, or so we were told at the time, maybe it wasn't, but that's what we were told, namely the Browns Ferry nuclear power plant on the Tennessee River, where, incidentally, thanks to climate change, it now gets so hot in the summer that they have to shut the reactor down because the river water is too warm to actually cool the system. That's not a joke. But, no, mostly it was tornado drills and things like that, but there was a very real threat, you know, and especially with the Redstone Arsenal being 72 miles away in Huntsville, that if the Reds decided to push the button down, that we would see a big flash and then we'd all bend over and kiss our asses goodbye. Hey, how many other radio programs are there where you can listen to the host actually do his thing and at the same time listen to him put on a fresh bottle of propane? Right? Yeah. Special. Now, there's a fine comment. Going back to the water thing, Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana says, it would be nice if we could ship some of this water to Flint, Michigan. We know the Republifucks will never care enough to help those people. Sadly, that is entirely true. But back to the story at hand. Here, let's see if it has the same effect on you as it did on me. Brett Molina at USA Today is the reporter. And here's the headline. Here's why I stopped and decided to read for a spell. Headline: The CDC is preparing for a nuclear blast. Now, maybe that's just clickbait. Maybe in the modern journalism world, that's just the sort of thing that's designed to get you to click, and then you find out that there's really nothing to worry about. Bullshit. As tensions between North Korea and the U.S. rise, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention want Americans to be prepared in case of a nuclear event. So I guess we're back to that. Do we still use the civil defense, you know, with the yellow and the black and the triangles? Sentient being Bob, don't terrify everyone. Well, all we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is share it. Right? But they are. The Centers for Disease Control, to the extent that they still have a budget, has decided that radiation poisoning is a disease, and that that their mission being to deal with diseases that have epidemic or pandemic possibilities, that the explosion of a nuclear device somewhere in the United States falls into their mission. The agency has scheduled a briefing for January 16th, titled Public Health Response to a Nuclear Detonation. It's like old home week. Now, do you think this is coming? And I realize that there's a possibility of some agitprop here. No, not the guy who runs the FCC. Agitprop, not agitpie. That possibility exists, but if who's in the White House was in the White House and you were running the CDC, wouldn't you be a little worried? Because I'm a lot worried. A whole lot worried. Let's continue. The agency scheduled a briefing January 16th titled Public Health Response to a Nuclear Detonation, where federal, state, and local officials will detail what preparations have been made in case of such an event. And the part that sort of puckered me up a little was the notion that such an event as that would probably take about 10 seconds. The part where federal, state, and local officials will detail what preparations have been made in case of such an event. None? Zero? Zilch? Zip? Nada? Niente? Nihil? In your community, have you heard any preparations for in the event of a nuclear detonation? Notice they call it a nuclear detonation, not a nuclear attack. I guess they're assuming that we might screw up and nuke ourselves. You know, kind of like the North Koreans did to one of their own towns. Turns out one of their failed missile tests, landed on one of their towns, and an analysis of satellite imagery, it appears to show where the thing went up and then came down. Rather unexpectedly for the people who live there. Yeah, all right. Thank you, Billable Rick. Bob, stop telling us how to use propane. And then, I don't need any today in 70-degree Southern California. Yeah. While a nuclear detonation is unlikely, see, they have to put that part in there just to try to reassure us that, you know, this is just another thing that they do. While a nuclear detonation is unlikely, it would have devastating results and there would be limited time to take critical protection steps. Reads an excerpt from the CDC's website detailing the briefing. For instance, most people don't realize that sheltering in place for at least 24 hours is crucial to saving lives and reducing exposure to radiation. The briefing includes experts in radiation studies and public health officials who will explain how the U.S. has prepared for a nuclear event. Like I said, it'll take about 15 seconds. The timing of the briefing arrives as Americans grow concerned over heated rhetoric between the U.S. and North Korea. In October, a USA Today Suffolk University poll found 56% of Americans disapproved of President Donald Trump's handling of North Korea. A December poll from YouGov found nearly half of Americans believe it's very or fairly likely the U.S. will use military force against North Korea. Both polls came before the most recent spat between Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. During his annual New Year's Day speech, Kim said he had a nuclear button on his desk with the U.S. mainland within the range of his weapons. Trump responded a day later, saying he also had a button, but it was bigger and more powerful. So most of the story is taken up with background, but the meat of it is in a couple of paragraphs. The CDC is going to have a "What if a nuclear bomb detonates in the United States?" meeting, and they're going to see if your local disaster preparedness, homeland security, what have you, are in any way even remotely prepared for it. And the answer, I submit, is no. This is America in the tail end of the second decade of the 21st century, you know, the time when, as Reverbo said long ago, we should all be floating around in our helium-filled pants, and instead, Flint, Michigan, can't drink the water. 9 counties in West Virginia in the last 5 years have been reduced to unwitting participants in a decades-long human health study on the effects of methylcyclohexane methanol on the human body. The Secretary of the Interior is burning up the wildfire preparedness budget by taking unnecessary helicopter rides so he can get back and go horsey riding with the vice president. Prepared? Hell no, we're not prepared. And so at the risk of being a little bit alarmist, and that's not my goal, you know, that's why I mention, have a few gallons of water around. You really do. There are a lot of situations where you just don't want to get out and about in a disaster. And having a 2-week supply of water is a damn good idea. And having some beans and some rice. You know, for those of you who aren't vegan or vegetarian or whatever, some hunks of hog jowl or packages of bacon in the freezer. A few pounds of flour, some cornmeal. Maybe some liquid eggs that you can freeze. I mention these things because I'm a hillbilly. And you have no idea the sustenance that can be had with some dry beans, some rice, cornmeal, flour, frozen liquid eggs, buttermilk powder. That's another thing to have around, powdered milk. And you don't have to pay Jim Baker $1,600 a month, and you'll eat better than he will. He'll come to your house going, "Bless Jesus, that cornbread smells really good." Fuck you, Jim. Starve. I'm not a Christian. I don't have to follow that "where I was hungry and you fed me not" business. The hell out of here before I get the shotgun. But that's worth paying attention to. The CDC, although Brett Molina throws in the, the likelihood's very slim. How slim is it? Under ordinary circumstances, you would say the likelihood is slim. But this time in which we live, no such thing as slim likelihoods when you've got a man in the White House who is very clearly off the rails, gone round the bend, doorbell rings, but nobody's home, who sits behind a locked door in his bedroom in the White House residence that only he can get out of and only the Secret Service can get into, and stares in trembling horror at his toothbrush. Now, if any of the revelations about Donald Trump had been about Barack Hussein Obama, do you think we wouldn't have been having 25th Amendment hearings in the Congress yesterday? Because we would have. But it's a good thing for Trump to be Trump, as long as the Republicans are able to put party and ideology ahead of the needs of the American people and get what they want and give away the country to the 1/10 of the 1% that runs this country. And yeah, the revelations in that book are stunning. The one that's kind of grabbed me all day long is people fanning themselves and getting out the smelling salts because they got the fan tods over the fact that it's reported in this book that he agonized and sat there and tried to rationalize with himself how good people could join the Klan and still not fully adopt the Klan's hateful rhetoric and agenda. And all over the for-profit media today, it was there. Well, how could he do that? My goodness. And me, I sit here, and hey, lady. His daddy was a Klansman, and he still thinks his daddy was a good man. His daddy was busted at a Klan riot in 1927 in Jamaica, Queens. It was published in the paper, and just like everything else he doesn't like, Trump simply said, "It wasn't true, it's definitely not true, my father was a good man." His father, meanwhile, also, let's remember, died having lost his mind to diseases of the brain, as mentioned. But the people who know which fork to use with the shrimp and which one to use on the oysters, well, they're shocked, I tell you. At least we aren't shocked. So here we are at 5 minutes past the hour. We are making real headway toward a Friday on the Front Porch miracle. And hopefully we'll finish it off here in the next couple of hours. It's time for us to start up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Skype is working for me just dandy, so but that doesn't matter. You don't call me on Friday on the front porch. If you've never made contact on Skype with Sparky, you need to send a if you want to participate in Friday on the front porch, you need to contact Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, one word, on Skype, and he'll get you he'll get you into the group, and we'll be having a high old time in no time flat. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is the horn. Better get prepping. We might actually be better at this than the weirdos are. I'm Bob Kincaid.
confess your passion, your secret fear. Prepare to meet the challenge of the new frontier.
God, I love that song, and I still love that album. I can just put, that's one of those that, that's one of my Desert Island albums, Donald Fagen's The Night Fly. New Frontier, of course, and yeah, because of all the imagery. I mean, like I said, in case the Reds decide to push the button down. This is Friday on the Front Porch, on the horn, 13 minutes past the hour, and let's run over and check in as the group gathers together. Let's go in and remember, if you want to get involved in the thing, you need to send a contact request to Sparky Dunk or show up so that Sparky can drag you into the conversation, or you know, whatever eldritch magic that he does to make this whole thing work. Hey, Sparky.
So this is a thing now?
What's a thing?
You said the thing. Like the group is a thing.
Yeah, the thing. It's been a thing. Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Because back in 2006, it wasn't a thing.
No, I wasn't even around in 2006.
Well, I mean, you were. You just weren't here.
No, I was hard working.
It's not like you're 12 years old. You were around in 2006. You just weren't at the horn yet.
No, I didn't come in until 2009, until after I got laid off. And I found Malloy, and through Malloy, I found you.
There's a whole lot of people who share that in common.
But today I couldn't make the magic work in fold space.
No?
Right. The Wi-Fi extender was giving me a case of the slows today. And then after yesterday, when something went sideways on my ISP for Head On Live, and just shut you down and shut. And then
yeah,
I tried
that, to, I mean, Ace is listening, and he runs HeadOn.live. So your ISP was telling you that HeadOn.live was banned?
No, it wouldn't load. It was busy or too many, you know. I kept that out there in the cave, and then I run in here to this computer and try to, and I got the same thing. So I don't know if it was Spectrum fucking with me or not.
I'll be darned. That's kind of, we haven't heard that one before, but it's working.
It lasted about a half an hour, and then I got back in.
That's bizarre. I was asking in the chat room, did you, Did you notice all the cowbell in that song? That's the New Frontier by Donald Fagen probably has more cowbell in it than Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yeah, I noticed that cowbell. I can't tell you the story of that cowboy. It's been in my family forever. And it's just knocked around.
Do you have any idea how old it is?
No.
Because, I mean, and the question that was asked last night is, has it ever been on an animal?
It could have been. I mean, my dad might have picked it up in his days when he was running the tractor dealership in Willows.
Well, if I ever decide to go to a Mississippi State University football game, I'm ready. Because cowbells are big with him.
Could have been on a sheep.
That's true. I mean, it's a sturdy sturdy cowbell. Sheep. This isn't any little pissant cowbell.
Yeah, sheep are really big down in Willows. We used to have a festival every year, Lamb Derby, it's called.
Well, we know where all around great guy and midweek pinch hit chat room utility moderator Steve from Georgia Stan is this evening.
Bed.
I just got a note for him. Note from him said Steve going to the ER. I went to the walk-in clinic merely wanting a tetanus shot and a Z-Pak. A nasty blistery rash developed on my left leg. I thought that it developed from a pair of long johns. Temperature was 104.2, and they freaked. I'll be at the Gainesville Hospital for a couple or 3 days while they load me up with intravenous IVs. I don't feel that bad. Fart knockers. Anyway, and gives me a number to call. I'll call and check on him. I don't know if it would be appropriate after the program, given the hour, but I'll definitely call and check on him.
No, visiting hours usually end at 8 o'clock or something.
Yeah, I don't know how that ties in with telephone hours.
But yeah, I don't think it applies.
No, but if you're in a room with somebody else, you know. But then again, nobody gets any rest in the hospital. Get well soon, Steve, if you're listening.
No, because there's something always going on in the hospital. I remember my experience with my back surgery.
Oh, it's the worst place on earth to be sick.
Yeah, well, there was somebody down the hall screaming all night long.
Well, Asa just asked me to pass along a message. If that happens again to you with not being able to connect, would you take a screenshot, please, and send it, email it to me, and I'll email it to him so that he can follow up and try to figure out what in the hell's going on?
Okay.
Okay. That would be most helpful. So, let's see. Billable Rick is with us this evening. What do you say, Rick?
You there, Bob?
I am. Well, yeah. The question was, were you?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm here. I'm here. Yeah. I've been feeling like kind of an imp today. That's why I'm sending you those emails there. But what can I say? I'm kind of playing hooky today. I started coming down with kind of a bad cold last night and just decided to stay home. And I'm feeling actually better now. So, but I'm still going to kind of take it easy, I think.
It sounds like a good idea. Everybody in it. Well, I guess the flu's running all over this, all over the country, isn't it?
Oh, hell yeah. The flu shot this year, they missed the major strain. So I think it's only like maybe 10 or 15% effective this year. Whereas usually it's like 75, 80% effective. So, I mean, I don't have the flu. It's just the regular, you know, head cold.
Why didn't we all just listen to Jill Stein and not get it at all?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I get one every year. I finished up my pneumonia shot regiment this year too, so I don't have to get that again for a long time.
Yay.
Yeah, that's important. That one's important for sure. I think I'll probably, I'm like double nickel now, so I'm probably about the age where you start to get it. or get the shot anyway, the pneumonia shot. I might have had one already. I think I did last year, maybe. So, for sure, you know.
Well, at least you can pick up some legal weed while you still can.
No kidding. Did I hear correctly, Sparky, that you guys actually finally got some precipitation in Northern Cal?
Yes, you heard right.
Was it much?
I don't know. I didn't check. I woke up and it's not raining. I mean, went to sleep and it's not raining. Woke up and it's raining. And then it sprinkled on, off and on yesterday.
Okay.
And then last night when we went out looking for raccoons, about midnight, it was foggy.
Okay. Wait a second.
Okay.
You and who else were looking for raccoons? You and the shop dog or what?
Yeah, we go on patrol every night.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? You just don't like the raccoons messing with your garbage and stuff or what?
No, it's just a thing. I caught them in the tree once or twice.
Okay. Okay.
There so you come. He marks his territory all over the place. So they basically stayed the hell away.
What's Grady going to do if he ever actually gets hold of one?
I don't want that to happen because the raccoons can be really nasty critters.
Do y'all have porcupines around there?
No.
Lucky
you. They're up in higher elevations.
Have you guys ever seen a bear on your property? That'd be interesting.
A bear? No.
Yeah, no. Okay. I mean, you guys do have black bears, don't you?
There's been mountain lion sightings down by the river.
Okay, yeah.
It's a good thing we're not out there. That would have access.
I've read that they're not given any predatory mountain lion permits in Southern California this year.
Oh, really? Because all the fires have probably destroyed their habitat.
Well, I guess they're moving around, too, now.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say is it's a good thing, you know, if Agnes was out there and heard there was a mountain lion down by the river, the Viking warrior princess, who is also known as Ellie Mae of the Appalachians, here, kitty, 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 here, kitty, kitty. I mean, I remember years ago when she ran out to the backyard because there was some guy that had a private zoo and his lion had gotten loose.
Oh, jeez.
And Agnes, you think the lion will come here? Maybe we could... Oh, that'd be so... Honey, no lions. No lions, honey.
Oh, my gosh. It's funny.
Well, at least they don't... They stop shipping them up from from Southern California up here.
We used to ship lions up to you guys?
Yeah.
Really? Like we catch them and release them up there? Is that the idea?
Yeah, there's a place in Modoc County. It's called Devil's Garden. It's a con camp. They ship this, I forget the guy's name, but he was a well-known prisoner for doing something. They shipped him up there, and then after that, they started... Guys would be out and about, and they'd find a fish and game releasing mountain lions up there.
Oh, jeez.
Found out that they were coming from Southern California.
Huh. Well, I guess we basically take your water and give you our mountain lions. I think that's a fair trade. What do you think?
Yeah, well, there was a deal that was a bumper sticker that was going on right up there. You can see that first they send this guy, and now they're sending their mountain lions to us.
Well, you know, it's sort of a takeoff on, you know, throwing the Christians in with the mountain lion, with lions, not the mountain lions. You know?
Yeah, but we get our bottled water from Mount Shasta Spring Water Company.
Yeah.
Bottled right by the mountain.
That's good. That's
they deliver every 3 weeks.
Okay.
We get 5-gallon bottles like you. Using in your office in a dispenser.
Okay. So, but your well water is good, I take it, right?
Well, we used to filter it because it's got a lot of minerals and stuff in it.
Yeah, yeah. Does it like smell like rotten eggs or anything like that, or not? Or...
No.
That's good. Yeah, sometimes the water that you get is like real sulfury.
Well, there's been talk of some of the wells around here been getting sulfury out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess that's the least of your concern, though. I mean, if you were in the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone, you wouldn't be able to drink your water at all, you know?
Well, I wanted to share some breaking news with you. I just wanted to let everybody know that if you don't think Donald Trump is the awesomest president ever to be president in the United States of America, Sarah Hustlebuck Sandbags says you're the crazy one.
Oh, okay.
I have a quote here. What I think is really mentally unstable is people that don't see the positive impact that this president is having on the country. The economy's booming. We're crushing ISIS day after day. Things are getting better for Americans all over this country. And I think it's really sad that these people don't see that and that they're not celebrating and trying to join in the president's efforts to turn our country around.
Turn our country around from what is the question?
Well, that is the question, because the year-end job creation numbers came out. Turns out that there were 2 million jobs created in the first year of Trump's presidency, whereas in the same time period with Barack Obama, in the middle of an economic disaster that was not of his creation, he created 2.06 million jobs.
Well, there you go.
So with one foot in a bucket, Barack Obama had better job creation numbers than this clown who was handed a recovering and getting healthier economy.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
How's it getting healthier when people are getting laid off?
Because the stock market just crossed 25,000. Didn't you notice?
Yeah, that has me worried that's going to take a nosedive.
You're that much wealthier now, Sparky. Just think of that, you know, because the market's up at 25,000.
Well,
right?
I'll let you know how my AT&T stock is doing.
It's probably doing pretty well, I imagine.
Well, I don't know how many shares I got. I only get a dividend of $73 and some odd cents every 3 months.
Oh, okay.
It's my grandfather bought stock years ago, and it's just been passed down through the family. My mom and dad had it, and then went and split it three ways. Steve, you got to mute, man.
Okay.
You split it three ways after they passed away. And the other stock, we had stock in Comcast, and we sold that off.
Okay.
I forget how much I made off of it. But it wasn't much. And my sister says, well, the AT&T stock's more valuable. You better hang on to it. So I did.
Right, right.
And she handled it all. She was the executor of the estate. My oldest sister.
So this whole stuff with this, all these allegations in this book, I mean, it's amazing how, Trump really seems beleaguered, and all his defenders are really, you know, they don't know what the fuck to say, because, I mean, the truth is coming out, you know? I think the shit's starting to hit the fan a little bit here, you know?
Yeah, when I heard this story, he was repeating the same thing over and over again within 30 minutes. Same stories and everything. He's got dementia. My mom did the same thing. I mean, it drove us nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and my dad would be sitting at the table and drop his fork and look at him and say, we've heard this story before. And I say, Dad, it doesn't do any good.
Yeah. Yeah, jeez.
Is he going to tell it again tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that he doesn't recognize longtime friends during the big New Year's Eve celebration at, you know, Mar-a-Lago, you know, that definitely says something. I'm not sure who those allegations were made by, if that was Wolf or who it was. But, you know, it's like the guy is definitely not all there. I mean, another thing that I found amazing was this scalp reduction surgery. Boy, how brutal that thing is. That Trump had like in 89 or so. And, you know, I mean, I believe it. You know, I'm sure that, you know, Ivanka, you know, having to, you know, do her dad's hair every morning. And I mean, I believe
it's
all.
It's the laughing part, like I pointed out last night. It's the laughing at him part that probably has him in a complete uproar.
Right.
Because there's nothing quite so galling to a suitor as the derision of his intended.
Right, exactly. I mean, the same thing happens. Let's say, you know, if a flasher flashes a woman, and the response that the flasher gets is laughter. I mean, that's like, you know, it's somewhat analogous there, because that's what really does it to somebody who's like, you know, totally narcissistic, like Trump. You know, you need to be taken seriously, and when somebody's laughing at you, obviously you're not being taken seriously, and that's his own daughter, you know? I mean, what a weird fucking family, you know, he has. I mean, why do we have to be subject to this bullshit, you know, as a country?
Well, you want the short answer? It's a two-parter. One,
because we can't have good things.
No,
right,
no. One, okay. Because about 60 million Americans passed the quadrennial or failed the quadrennial one question IQ test.
Right.
And
right.
Two, as a result of that, an archaic, hateful relic of the slavery era operated to the benefit of a known racist.
Right.
Bingo.
It's true.
I mean, yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, not, you know, pretty simple, actually, I guess, from that standpoint. But I guess I just, I mean, we have all these problems this country needs to face, and we're not facing it. And, you know, I guess maybe this is what an empire in decline feels like. You know, maybe that's all it is, you know, Bob?
Yeah, and you know, just because I'm Bob Kincaid, little ray of fucking sunshine. I want everybody to understand it can get worse.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And anybody who thinks that, you know, oh, well, you know, if we can just get rid of Donald Trump, we'll be back to a magnificent world where everybody will be up to their eyeballs in Frisbees and wheat checks. No.
No. Mm-mm,
because they're out there on the white wing stage, there is always one more loon.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody thought it could ever get worse than Nixon. Then we got Reagan.
Yeah.
Nobody thought it could get worse than Reagan. Then we got Dim Leader. Well, yeah. Okay, that's as bad as it. Okay, George Bush was terrible. That's as bad as it can ever get. Oh, look, it's Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, the concern that, you know, the concern we have going forward is that, you know, you could have a megalomaniacal leader who's actually smart and is good at using the levers of power, unlike Trump, you know, and then we're like totally fucked, you know. But this guy's like, I mean, this guy makes, you know, Inspector Clouseau, you know, look like, you know, Joe Friday in terms of, you know, how incompetent, you know, he is, you know, Trump, that is.
At some point,
you can't compare him to Inspector Clouseau.
Well,
but at some point in time, somebody's going to have to take these issues seriously. I mean, did you catch it today? that over on the Senate side, they've made their first official criminal reference out of the Trump-Russia investigation? Yeah, they're calling for the FBI to investigate the guy who put together the PP dossier.
Oh, Michael Steele, huh?
Yeah, they want the FBI to investigate Michael Steele, yeah. Not the people who actually did the dirty business.
Yeah. Well, that's all the more reason why the Democrats have to at least gain control of one of the houses of Congress, you know. Otherwise, you know, nothing's going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, Trump gets let out of the White House in a, you know, in a straitjacket, or, you know, he's running down Pennsylvania Avenue nude or something.
That's not going to have any impact, because we are at a place where learning something about the nature of America in 2000, in the latter portion of the second decade of the 20th century, in which any former ideas of civics or patriotism are dead, okay? Because the Republican Party is nothing more than a vehicle for the acquisition of wealth and the transfer of it away from people who don't vote Republican, and a hell of a lot of people who do.
Mm-hmm.
If you look dispassionately at all this business, you're going to be hard-pressed to imagine how it is that a Devin Nunes or a Richard Burr or a Lindsey Graham can look at all this and say, you know what, we need to investigate the guy who... Because, see, we now know that the Steele dossier wasn't even the thing that got the FBI going. It was the tip that the Australian ambassador gave to the FBI after George Papadopoulos decided to brag a little bit about how important he was to Donald Trump.
Right, right. Yeah, that's it.
And at this point in time, you know, for anybody, look, I'm not part of that club that says, you know, ooh, but Mike Pence.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a dangerous maniac in the office of the presidency, you have to let the constitutional process and the succession work itself out.
Yeah.
Now, maybe, maybe Republicans would do nasty things.
Mm-hmm.
But...
My thinking, Mike Pence would be a more effective president for the Republicans. They'd get more of their agenda accomplished because there wouldn't be so much, you know, Sturm und Drang in the White House.
Did I say Michael Steele? I meant Christopher.
Oh, Christopher. Okay. Yeah, Michael Steele was a former RNC leader.
Yeah, he was the guy that was leading the RNC when they were using the RNC credit card to go to strip clubs.
Right, right. Oh, jeez. Oops, we forgot to delete that one from the expense account. Oh, well. wait, lap dance? No, it really wasn't that. It was...
Precisely. And by the way, you know, we took off like a house of fire, but things have slowed down a little bit. I just want to let folks know we got $320 to go in fundraising. 10 at 32, 32 at 10. We can do this. We pretty much met all of the challenges. If we could finish it off and not start next week. And I hate having a religious holiday with a deficit. And Monday is definitely a religious holiday for me. So, no matter how you do it, let's hopefully get it done. And then, you know, and then if we're on track, won't that be exciting? A fundraising free week? Uh-oh. Sparky, are you still there?
Yes.
Where'd everybody go?
Rick just chopped out. Steve left.
Oh, okay. Well, darn, I wanted to get to Steve. Yeah, I got a note here from Liz, who's been in the chat room from time to time. We better get net neutrality back, damn it, and then stay warm or move to New Mexico. It's bone dry and warm. We're going to have a fire season from hell. You know, it's the devil or the deep blue sea at this point, isn't it?
Yeah.
I had a question from Randy, Sparky. Are all the fires taken care of now out there?
I'm not sure about the one in Southern California. I haven't heard anything about it.
Well, I hope so, because...
But I know the cleanup part of the Santa Rosa fire is done. I mean, just hauling the stuff off. All the this ash and stuff from the burn-up houses so they can start rebuilding.
Well, speaking of fires, I don't know if you saw this, but golly Moses, those good, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist Christians are some pretty sore losers. One of the, and Mike in Cascadia sent this along to me at the beginning of the program, one of the women who accused Roy Tola Moore of sexually abusing her, Tina Johnson, she noted that in the early 1990s that he groped her in his law office. Well, she still lives in the Gadsden, Alabama area, and on Wednesday, her house burnt down. It caught fire on Tuesday morning. Shortly after 8 a.m., utility workers called 911, and the Lookout Mountain Fire Department responded to the scene. By the time the flames were extinguished, Tina Johnson and her family had lost everything they owned. She said, "I'm devastated, just devastated. We have just the clothes on our backs." Her grandson was at school, and she and her husband were at work. But Natalie Barton, public information officer with the Etowah County Sheriff's Department, said that fire is still under investigation by the Etowah County Arson Task Force. A suspect of interest is being spoken to, but there have been no charges to my knowledge related to the fire at this time. The ongoing investigation does not lead us to believe that the fire is any way related to Roy Moore or allegations made against him. More details will be released when warrants are obtained. Neighbors witnessed a young man who had a history of public intoxication walking around the house before and during the blaze. Well, maybe it wasn't the Christians. Maybe it was. You know, if it wasn't the Christians, I'm sure that Roy Moore will issue a public statement any time now declaring that this is her punishment for lying on a man of God. Would you be surprised?
No. I'm sure it was arson.
They seem pretty confident of that, but they're gonna pin it on a local ne'er-do-well.
Think the Klan or anybody had any influence or?
Hard to say. They're living in a motel right now. The neighbors have rallied around the family. She said, "My neighbors are just heartbroken too. They're pulling together and helping us out." Her neighbor said the Johnsons are good neighbors, and he'd been over at her house recently sharing some turnip greens. Brother. But
so, any other good news, Bob?
Oh, I'm crawling with it. I'm absolutely chock-a-block with it. Did you hear about the attack on the Amtrak train in Nebraska?
No. Somebody tried to rob a train?
No, they just attacked it. He just attacked it. out in the wilds of rural Nebraska, a 26-year-old guy from Missouri breached a secured area to stop an Amtrak train back in October. Taylor Michael Wilson of St. Charles, Missouri, has been charged in U.S. District Court in Lincoln, Nebraska, with terrorism attacks and other violence against railroad carriers and mass transportation systems. Special Agent Monty Chaplevsky said there was probable cause to believe that electronic devices possessed by Wilson and firearms owned by him have been used for or obtained in anticipation of engaging in or planning to engage in criminal offenses against the United States. Back on October 22nd, an assistant conductor felt the train braking, searched for what was causing it, and found Wilson in the engineer's seat of the following engine, playing with the controls. Here's the fun part. He had a backpack with three speed loaders, a box of ammunition, a knife, tin snips, scissors, and a ventilation mask. He was carrying a concealed firearm, had a loaded .38 caliber handgun in his waistband, a speed loader in his pocket, and a National Socialist Movement business card on him. He's a Nazi. And it gets more fun. His bond was set at $100,000, and on December 11th, somebody made bond for him, and, you know, he was just released. Because, hey, he was just attacking a passenger train is all. You know, I think, Sparky, that somebody charged with attacking a passenger train would merit something more than $100,000 bond.
Yes. Domestic terrorism.
Well, but see, here's the thing. He's not a Muslim, and he's white.
Well, yeah.
So he's probably just suffering from economic anxiety. Yeah. Jesus. It's going to get weirder. Here's one. And this all comes from the Lincoln Journal Star. An informant told the FBI that Wilson has expressed an interest in, quote, killing black people, unquote, and others besides whites, and they suspect Wilson was responsible for a road rage incident in April 2016 in St. Charles, Missouri, where a man pointed a gun at a black woman for no apparent reason while driving on Interstate 70. He made bail, and then they rearrested him on December 23rd, a day after the complaint was filed under seal in federal court in Nebraska. So at least it'll be a little while before he can knock off another train. How about that? A guy from Missouri doing a train robbery. It's why it's Jesse James all over again, only with goose stepping. Damn.
Takes a lot of balls to jump on a moving train.
Or a lot of stupid. Kind of hard to get around that.
I'm looking at my local news. Oh, I see that breaking news. White supremacist faces terror charges after Nebraska train stop.
There we go. That's our boy. You know, I find it interesting, and I kind of had this in the list. Isn't it after spending the entire program on it last week? Isn't it interesting that the whole Nikki Haley got punked by the Moscow Morning Zoo crew thing just sort of disappeared? Nothing to see here. I mean, that was clear. Yeah. That was obviously her voice. She was obviously sucked into it. If that had been Barack Obama's UN ambassador, there would have been urgent sweat condition alpha hearings by the Foreign Relations Committee of both houses, don't you think?
Yeah, but I mean, she, It's maddening. They get away with anything they want to do. Any of their cabinet officials?
Yeah, because Congress doesn't want to do its job unless it involves Hillary Clinton, like the business with Christopher Steele today. They also want to reinvestigate Hillary's emails. Oh yes, they do. They do. And
for what?
And the Clinton Foundation. For, I don't know, evidence of Hillary-ness.
I mean, everything they've ever done with Hillary's been a witch hunt. An actual, turned out, honest to goodness witch hunt. You'd think they'd learn.
Millions of dollars and know they're there, ever.
But this Russian thing has they're there.
Yeah, it does. Well, it depends on who you're listening to. I mean, there's still a whole lot of people out there who say, you know, ostensibly on our side, who say that the Russia thing is a complete fabrication.
I had to laugh last night when I saw Steve Smith on The Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell. Talking about the gang in the White House is basically monkeys throwing poo at each other.
Oh, it's pretty much what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it instantly made me flash back to my experience as a little kid going to the Fleischacker Zoo in San Francisco and standing in front of the monkey cage and getting hit with some monkey shit, you know, because they used to just laugh and laugh, and the monkeys laugh, and they'd wait for somebody to get real close, and then they'd run up and throw shit at you.
Well, one of the most intriguing and engaging things I've read today is the piece over at Vox. It's an interview with a real live, honest to goodness, no kidding psychiatrist who had briefed both Republicans and Democrats in the Congress on the mental stability of Donald Trump. And I suggest that everybody go and read this. It's at Vox.com. The psychiatrist who briefed Congress on Trump's mental state, this is an emergency. Eliza Barclay is the author of the piece, and she interviews Bandy Lee, assistant professor in forensic psychiatry at the Yale School of Medicine, with a 20-year career in the study, prediction, and prevention of violence. And she is she's part of a collection that's been released called The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump. But this interview by Eliza Barclay and Bandy Lee is breathtaking. Among other things, she says the special counsel, Mueller, the special counsel's indictment started a crisis. A mental health crisis in a president who is not able to cope well with ordinary stresses such as basic criticism or unflattering news. And bear in mind, she's talking all doctory and sciencey, so she's not calling him a poopy head or a tiny-handed dictator or anything like that. She said his trip to Asia brought a lot of ceremonial deference and customs of flattery that kept him doing better for a while. But that indicated a greater danger to us, that someone was that susceptible to fawning, pointed to instability that would make him more volatile when he returned, and that's exactly what happened. When he returned and faced the progress of the special counsel's investigation, he became more paranoid, returning to conspiracy theories that he let go of for a while. He seemed to further lose his grip on reality by denying his own voice, and we tend to just blow right by that, on the Access Hollywood tapes. Oh, that's not really my voice, that's my fake voice, that's Hillary's voice. And the sheer frequency of his tweets seemed to reflect the frantic state of mind he was entering, and is retweeting some violent anti-Muslim videos showed a concerning attraction to violence. And then there were the belligerent nuclear threats this week. Dr. Lee says, I'd also like to emphasize that we are not diagnosing him. We keep within the Goldwater rule. We are mainly concerned that an emergency evaluation be done. And that's a big damn deal, Sparky. Dr. Lee is calling for is for Donald Trump to be mentally evaluated whether he wants it or not.
Isn't he supposed to go in for a physical this month?
Right, but a physical is not going to assess his mental state. Anybody who's ever dealt
with... Yeah, but you would think Walter Reed has a psychologist, a psychiatrist that could send over with the doctor that examines, because they're Navy doctors.
Right, but they're not. They are deliberately not going to assess his mental capacity. A physical is not a mental. You know, at best, it'll be how many fingers am I holding up? Dirty hippie making a peace sign.
Okay, this maybe we'll be back here in a second.
Okay, but Dr. Lee says that it's not just North Korea. Everything in between, provoking our allies and alienating them, instigating civil conflict, laying a foundation for a violent culture that could give way to epidemics of violence, not to mention poke a beehive in the Middle East by declaring Jerusalem as Israel's capital. All of these actions are consistent with the pathological pattern he has already shown of resorting to violence the more he feels threatened. And then some statistics. I didn't realize this. Gun deaths are up at least 12% since 2016. There's an increase in schoolyard bullying and an unprecedented spike in hate crimes that continue to this day. And here's the fun thing, and Billable Rick is back. I don't know of any legal mechanism that can compel the president to be examined for his mental status.
No, I don't think there is, Bob.
Wow, your mic's a mess, Rick. What happened?
For some reason, I'm on my phone here. When Sparky called me back on the computer, my PC just decided to do an automatic reset, so I missed part of the program. It just, like, shut my thing down.
Well, I thought maybe I'd insulted you or something. You know, maybe it was that Georgia-Alabama thing. I'd hate to have you mad at me.
No, that's okay. Nah, you know, I don't really have a dog in that fight, except I like the underdog. What can I say? Plus, my old girlfriend liked Alabama, and I don't really like, you know. So there you go.
I understand, but...
Yeah. Maybe Sparky can try to ring me back on my PC here.
I can't. It doesn't tell the difference.
You have to be...
I can hang you up and could we call you again.
Yeah, but you need to do is signed out on your phone so it can't ring.
Oh, okay. Let's give that a shot, okay?
Okay, because I want to go over this with you.
Okay, let's give that a shot and we'll see what we can do. Okay.
Okay, sounds good. We are right at the top of the third hour. We got an hour to go on the broadcast. And we've got $320 in fundraising to go. We took off like a house of fire and then tapered a little bit. But if we could, it'd be great if we could not even knock it down to 200 so that we'd just have today to make up for on Monday. There's 320 to go for a Friday on the front porch miracle. Yes, Jim, Skype only. I don't know. People are.
Oh, that's better. I'm on now.
Oh, yay! Very good. Very good.
Okay,
I guess.
Cool. Thanks.
I guess folks are caved up from the cold weather, or I don't know. For all I know, out doing fun Friday night stuff. But how would you go about, from a constitutional standpoint, how would you go about compelling someone or how would you go about constitutionally compelling the president to submit to a mental status evaluation?
Well, I think the only way to compel it would be if a group of a sufficient number of cabinet officers and the vice president comes to Trump and says, look, Mr. President, we have some concerns about your mental capabilities. And, you know, unless you submit to this exam and allow the results to be disclosed, we're going to, you know, kick you out, essentially. We're going to find that you're not able to do the job.
Invoke the 25th Amendment.
And that would that would require a whole bunch of Republicans.
Yeah. And they're obviously, you know, I think they love the idea of having a useful idiot in office. I mean, the Republicans had that with Reagan during most of his second term, because, as we know, George H.W. Bush was really the one that was governing the U.S. during that time.
Right. You only get the Tax Reform Act of 1986. You know, that's the Reagan second term with him already in steep mental decline.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
That's why I always get a little nauseated every time Chris Matthews talks about how, you know, in the finest bipartisan tradition, Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill rolled up their shirt sleeves and decided that they were BFFs. And then they got down to work and they got tax reform done in 1986. We're about the same age. Do you remember how many people got thoroughly fucked by tax reform in 1986?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the first time that Social Security benefits have become taxable if you earn over a certain amount of money, if you have other outside income. Thanks, Reagan. You know?
Yeah, they don't remember that. Okay, so but when I read this story about wanting a compulsory mental status evaluation of Donald Trump, I got to thinking about something.
Okay,
so you cannot use ordinary criminal process against a president, correct?
Right.
Because he's a sitting president, he's immune to criminal process.
Well, that's the majority view. Now, if he were to try to fire Mueller could have an indictment in his back pocket and indict the guy. So you never know.
Okay, so moving on, he is not, however, immune to civil process, and we have Kellyanne Conway's husband to thank for that, for the work that he did making sure that Bill Clinton had to be subjected to the civil process of the great Clinton cleanus hunt.
Right. I see where you're going, Bob. Keep it up. I know what you're doing here.
The District of Columbia, like any other state in the union, has mental hygiene laws. If there is evidence to suggest that a person, I'm just thinking in terms of West Virginia's statute here, as I once understood it. If a person is deemed to be a threat to himself or others as a result of mental defect, developmental delay, mental illness, or persistent intoxication or addiction, the mental hygiene commissioner in a county may issue a pickup warrant for the individual, and the individual can then be compelled to participate in a mental hygiene status exam.
Okay.
If there's a finding, then you go on to a mental hygiene hearing.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a criminal process. In fact, it's a confidential process. It requires a prosecutor and a defense lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
In this state, it requires a local lawyer inside the county who is designated by the Court of Competent Jurisdiction as a mental hygiene commissioner to enter, you know, to enter the probable cause order and then tell the sheriffs to go and pick up the particular individual. Why would Donald Trump not be subject to that?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it's a civil proceeding, sort of a civil commitment proceeding, I guess, right? To some extent.
Well, I mean, the status exam,
it's preliminary to commitment. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it could ultimately lead to a civil commitment order if you know, the person, you know, flunks the status exam, let's say. You know, that's interesting. That's interesting. You'd have to have the commissioner in D.C. Boy, talk about talk about causing issues between the various branches of the government. If you have the D.C., the local D.C. Mental Hygiene Authority, you know, order a, you know, hygiene exam of the president. What if he doesn't comply? What if he refuses to submit? And then
they go to federal court
to enforce it, or what?
There are jurisdictional issues here too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's D.C. and then there's the jurisdiction of the federal jurisdiction.
Right. Right.
For instance, just as an example, you know, D.C. has legal cannabis now, right?
Right. Yeah.
It is not legal to possess, consume, buy, sell, or grow cannabis within the federal jurisdiction of the District of Columbia.
Right.
So that's Capitol Hill, several blocks back behind the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. Over toward Union Station, over past the House and Senate office buildings. And, you know, all the way down the hill to the White House and anywhere mm-hmm. that there's a government installation.
Right.
But what happens when he moves into non-federal space? What happens if he's traveling and he leaves the federal jurisdiction and then becomes subject to the D.C. police?
Mm-hmm.
Then suddenly you've got a situation where the president of the United States is literally under siege and cannot leave the White House.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting there.
Well, interesting. I mean, if Dr. Lee wants a compulsory mental status exam, you've got to find some sort of legal mechanism by which to accomplish it.
Right, you do.
And
you do.
What's particularly interesting in this circumstance is that I guess it would be a constitutional crisis, a separation of powers issue. But then again, my response to anybody saying, oh, constitutional crisis, brooga brooga, is to say, look, bub, we've been in one since January the 20th, 2017. What's a little more? James with an email says, compelling Drumpf, you would have to get past the Secret Service, wouldn't you? Yeah, you would, but there are magic documents called warrants and court orders. And the presentation of one of those would just about guarantee that they would have to step aside, at least theoretically. So, you know, we don't have the heft here to get everything going or get the ball rolling. But if people want to suggest it on social media, I can't stop anybody. There needs to be a mental competence proceeding with a pickup order issued in D.C. against Donald Trump, because the 25th Amendment's not going to do it and the Congress is not going to act. And we are, if you read and take seriously this interview at Vox, a 20-year expert in forensic psychiatry says we are in a desperate situation. I mean, the more you read this thing, the weirder it gets and more terrifying it gets.
You got a link?
It's at vox.com.
Okay. I'll find it.
Bandy Lee says, Dr. Bandy Lee says, we are assessing dangerousness, not making a diagnosis. The two are quite separate. Assessing dangerousness is making a judgment about the situation, not the person. The same person may not be dangerous in a different situation, for example, and it is his threat to public health, not his personal affairs, that is our concern. A diagnosis, on the other hand, is a personal affair that does not change with situation, and you require all relevant information, including, I believe, a personal interview. Most people who are dangerous do not have a diagnosable mental illness, and most people with mental illness are more likely to be victims than perpetrators. Once you declare danger, you're calling first for containment and removal of weapons from the person, and second, for a full evaluation, which may then yield diagnoses. Until that happens, physicians and mental health professionals are expected to err on the side of safety and can be held legally liable if they fail to act. So we're merely calling for an urgent evaluation so that we may have definitive answers. And when you think about it in that light, it becomes even more chilling. If you've got somebody, you know, just an ordinary person out there, you want to make sure that they don't have access to weapons or instrumentalities with which they could do harm either to themselves or others. This guy has a nuclear arsenal.
What could possibly go wrong with that, Bob?
Well, he's got
the biggest button. Come on, we know that. Jeez.
So I got the article up. Who are the congressional people that she briefed?
It doesn't say in the article. It was Democrats and Republicans alike.
You know, he's meeting at Camp David this weekend with a bunch of Republican senators.
Right, and just curiously, he forgot to invite Jeff Sessions.
Oh.
Well, and that's the other thing. I touched on it briefly, but this matters to people in places like California, Oregon, Washington, Massachusetts, D.C., Colorado, Maine soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is particularly interesting that all of the states that stand to be negatively affected by Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions, the turds, decision to unleash law enforcement against legal marijuana happen to be the same states that got hammered in the GOP tax scam.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing about it, sure, we're legal in California, but there's no place to buy it here.
Well,
where I live.
Well, I read an article that I think a shop opened up in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
Tim, it was like empty. Nobody was there.
No, not the article that Tim from LA sent me last night.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'll get that.
But think about it in those terms. These are states that are going to get hammered by the GOP tax scam, and the one thing that might make up for those for that revenue screw job would be the tax revenues coming off of the sale of legal cannabis.
Right.
So if you really want to kneecap those states, take that away.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, the way that Jefferson Beauregard Sessions has I guess his order or whatever, basically gives discretion to the local U.S. attorneys as to what they want to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, not that.
Well, and I mean, you've got some experience along those lines, so that's why we're talking about this, Rick.
Yeah.
What does it mean when Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Turd says, you fellas can just do whatever, you know, you need to do what your conscience directs. Because after all, states' rights only happen under the Mason-Dixie line and east of the Mississippi.
Right. And when slavery is involved, right?
Well, just making sure that the wrong people don't be voting now.
Yeah, keep those folks in line, those people, keep them in line. Yeah.
You know, I always used to think the Klan was kind of cool till I found out they smoked the marijuanas. You laugh, but it's true.
It is true. It is true. I mean, you know, there was a cartoon with Mike Pence and Donald Trump at a New Year's Eve party, ostensibly to ring in 2018. And instead of, you know, the one balloon had 20 in it on it, the other had 18 on it, and they transposed the balloons. It was a 18-20. And then he says something like, "Now that's more like it," or something like that. But yeah, this is, I mean, it's such a regressive administration. It's so totally unrepresentative of what America, the direction America, we at least the direction we thought America was moving in. You know, I mean, it's kind of a like a rear guard action. It's like the Nazis have won the Battle of the Bulge, and they're now, you know, rolling back the gains of the Allies in Western Europe. I mean, to analogize it to something, you know?
Yeah.
It's just nuts. You know? It's just nuts.
Well, Scott and Punky, under the subject line, DC's authority, chimed in and said, somewhere deep in the recesses of my memory bank, I'm recalling that there's a committee or subcommittee in the House that has jurisdiction over DC, federal region, and the district at large. I'm sure the Republican who heads that committee or subcommittee would throw a wrench into the process that would otherwise affect a psychological testing of Trump. They got to know about it first. I mean, D.C. has a certain, I mean, there's a reason D.C. has a mayor and D.C. has a council and D.C. is divided into precincts and wards and whatnot. I don't know what the judicial structure would look like. But there's, you know, there's bound to be some kind of mental hygiene process, even in the federal jurisdiction.
Yeah, I would certainly think so. I mean, it's, you know, it's got its own superior court, the local court. You know, it's got its. I'm trying to think if the appeals might go to the D.C. Circuit. I'm not sure how that works if they have their own appellate court set up. In D.C. I don't know. I know they have their own superior court, though. And those are very coveted positions, you know, because that can lead to you getting onto, let's say, the federal bench and then maybe the D.C. circuit, which people call the junior Supreme Court, because so many judges, justices.
Yeah, it's the AAA team for the Supreme Court.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, Scott's right. There is a committee in the House that deals with DC matters and possibly even in the Senate. Which makes me wonder how I know there were efforts to get a rollback of the legalized pot in DC, but I don't think those succeeded.
They didn't.
But
DC's law is real squirrely too, Rick. I mean, you can't smoke it in public. You can't smoke it in a bar. And you know, you can only have it legal inside a residence, if I understand correctly.
Okay, and it can't be like within 1,000 feet of a school or whatever the rules
are. Right, or on a day that ends in Y, or within the federal jurisdiction.
Right.
Well,
right.
California's probably about the same way.
Well,
I'm not worried about it now. That's for lunch.
You can smoke it in public now, Duncan, as long as you're not within like 1,000 feet of a school. And
well, I don't smoke it. I vape it.
Well, I know that, but you know, still, vaping. You could vape it. You know, can't vape it within 1,000 feet of a school. And that's one of the few restrictions. You can't do it in a restaurant or a bar or whatever. So you step outside. You know. Yeah.
Well, I'm far enough from my old alma mater. I'm safe.
Well, there you go. That's cool.
I'm about maybe a mile away. Maybe less than a mile away from my old elementary school I went to.
What about in proximity to a church?
You might be 1,000 feet from there too as well. I don't know for sure. There was an article about the new law. I seem to have forgotten some of the details. But maybe, and it's not because I smoked any.
Well, you're probably more into edibles anyway.
No, actually not. You can't control it. That's the problem. You can't control it. It's hard to control the dosage. Hard to know how much to have, you know?
Yeah, edibles hold no fascination for me.
Then go to vape.
One puff may be all you need.
Yeah, I mean, as far as edibles go, I think I told the story about being at the Paul Simon concert and, you know, I didn't feel anything, so I took a little more, and then I could barely walk out of it by the end of the night, and I don't know how I made it home, you know, one of those deals, so.
Right.
Yeah, bullseye, I'm not too fond of that. I don't love the idea of smoking either, but hey, you know. You know.
I can't smoke this stuff now. I tried it. It just
well,
tears me up.
Vaping though don't you get the same effect though as smoking with vaping or not?
Well, not really, but
no, okay, because I thought
once you do it for a while, I mean, my stepson comes here and he'll have a pipe or something. Take a hit off the pipe, and I just can't do it. It just tears me up.
Yeah. Okay.
You mean you cough till you feel like you're gonna barf up a lung?
No, not that. It's just the taste and everything. Everything about it, it just grosses me out.
Hey, guess what? It looks like Charlie's.
Yeah. I saw Charlie. Charlie wandered in. What's happening, Charlie?
I had to unmute there. I'm sorry. It looks to me like, you know, Trump is the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, we know the guy's crazy as a loon. We know he's a narcissist. And it looks like if you just keep applying positive pressure in the right direction, the guy's going to come unglued, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I certainly agree in large part. But what happens when he comes unglued and still has access to the button? If you assume for a moment that the Republican Congress isn't going to do its job.
Well, I mean, you know, that's kind of like what I was saying, the gift that keeps on giving. Another Republican runs and you can say, well, look what they did to us the last time. They let a nut in the White House. They didn't try to control him, and they're going to do it again. Don't vote for him, you know.
I wish it was that simple. One of the things, by the way, Jeff from Hell Hole, Indiana says, I'm sure you can't use the marijuanas near a church. Those fine, upstanding Christian assholes are using the hard stuff. haven't given out a cowbell this evening. So there's a cowbell for Jeff from Hell Hole, Indiana. Well, going back to the Vox interview with Dr. Bandy Lee, Dr. Lee says, we encounter this often, the question being, okay, so he won't voluntarily do it, what do you do? We encounter this often in mental health. Those who most require an evaluation are the least likely to submit to one. That is the reason why in all 50 states we have not only the legal authority, but often the legal obligation to contain someone even against their will when it's an emergency. What Dr. Lee is talking about is what I was just talking about, a mental hygiene, a mental status exam. So in an emergency, neither consent nor confidentiality requirements hold. Safety comes first. What we do in the case of danger is we contain the person, we remove them from access to weapons, and we do an urgent evaluation. This is what we have been calling for with the president based on basic medical standards of care. Surprisingly, many lawyer groups have actually volunteered on their own to file for a court paper to ensure that the security staff will cooperate with us. But we have declined since this will really look like a coup, and while we're trying to prevent violence, we don't wish to incite it through, say, an insurrection. So, yeah. By the way, Sparky, you were asking, or maybe it was Bill or Rick asking who it was they met with. Dr. Lee says a former U.S. assistant U.S. attorney stepped in and used her contacts to arrange for meetings with a dozen key Congress members, including Representative Jamie Raskin, D. Maryland, on December 5th and 6th. James Gilligan of NYU, one of the foremost experts on violence in the country, and I went and spoke to them about medical matters only to share our medical knowledge and concern. Eliza Barkley asks, how did those conversations go? Dr. Lee responds, they received us enthusiastically. Their level of concern was surprisingly high. From the dozen we have met with, it seemed they were already convinced the dangerousness of the president and the need for an evaluation. And meanwhile, Dr. Lee says that up at Yale, they've been preparing to act on a moment's notice to perform such an evaluation.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, I mean, so far, this creaky constitutional system has not really worked so well in terms of keeping a clearly, you know, psychopathic, unstable man out of the highest office. So, you know, I can't say that, you know, if the past is any guide, I don't really have a whole lot of expectations that, that, you know, we'll be able to get a mental health evaluation of the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini.
From a historical standpoint, we have to understand, and this is one of those moments that puts the lie to the whole concept of constitutional originalism.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that the Constitution was, you know, carved in stone and that it sits godlike, ever unchanging.
Right.
There was, in 1787, lest we forget, the concept of mental health scarcely even existed. Now, if you go back to, Shakespeare, there are references to Bedlam.
Mm-hmm.
And Bedlam was a real place. It was a place where they brutally stuffed people with mental health issues. And if you look in the legal codes as you come up into the 19th century, Agnes saw one of these lists the other day. The things that qualified to get you restrained and warehoused in a state mental institution was shocking. Things that just look ridiculous to the modern mind. But up into the turn of the 19th into the 20th century, in the early 20th century, it was still a sort of madness in mental health science was a madness in its own right. There were incidents where people who were deemed mentally ill would have all their teeth cut out because that was thought to cause mental illness. Hysterectomies were performed. The idea of a hysterectomy, the removal of hysteria. Women were often the victim. Quite often, the greatest victims of these schemes. Think up into the middle of the 20th century, when Joe Kennedy had his own daughter lobotomized. And it's only really in the last 30 to 40 years that anything resembling humane treatment has even entered the consideration. So what we have is a situation where there have been presidents of the United States with various forms of mental illness and addiction who simply were allowed to go on being who they were because the president was a big deal, but the president couldn't destroy the planet. The president can now destroy the planet. Two cases in point. Franklin Pierce was a straight-up, no-kidding, drunk all the time, alcoholic.
Mm.
And everybody knew it. But a whole lot of the country was straight up all the time alcoholics back then. So, no big deal. Abraham Lincoln, his innards were such a wreck that he took something called blue mass to try to give him some relief from his from gut maladies, and that shit was mostly mercury.
Jeez. Wow.
And shortly after the Gettysburg Address, he came down with what was probably smallpox and was incapacitated and near death. And nothing happened.
Hmm.
Then there's Garfield.
Well, while you're on Lincoln, let's talk about the fact that he suffered from severe depression and melancholy as well.
Well, right. And again, it was melancholy.
Mm-hmm.
And people were powerless to deal with it.
Right.
But you move forward to Garfield. Garfield lingers for a month or 2 months after a gunshot wound, busy getting killed by quack doctors. In the modern era, Garfield would not have died of his gunshot wound. And then, of course, most famously, from a physical standpoint, but arguably also a mental one, the debilitating stroke that struck Woodrow Wilson. And in the aftermath of Woodrow Wilson's stroke, there began to be talk about, because, see, his wife Edith wouldn't let anyone near him. For all intents and purposes, Edith Wilson was the president of the United States for several months. And the Congress said, wait a minute, a woman was running this country? My God. And so they started thinking about, we need to figure out, because the whole issue of succession was entirely unaddressed. But it sort of died off. The Depression came along. And then finally, with the assassination of John Kennedy, the Congress finally said, no, we got to do something. And that's how you get the 25th Amendment. The 25th Amendment comes as a direct result of the assassination of John Kennedy, because the Congress began asking itself, what would have happened if he had not been killed and had simply been rendered a vegetable from a gunshot wound to the head? And in the midst of a Cold War, that had terrifying consequences. Would the vice president be the president, or would he be the acting president? But throughout all of this process, and because real treatment for mental illness has only recently been deemed a non-stigmatic branch of medicine, no one has ever considered this issue. And we put it to the side, just like they did after Calvin Coolidge, after Ronald Reagan. Everybody who was anywhere near that man knew that he didn't even know what planet he was on, or if or when he had ever been president toward the end of his second term. I mean, one of the great ironies of Ronald Reagan's life is that by the end of Ronald Reagan's life, the only person in America who didn't know Ronald Reagan had been president was Ronald Reagan.
Oh, jeez. God.
And, you know, there's legislation that's been introduced in the House. I think Ted Lieu introduced it, calling for compulsory mental status examination of a president, as well as physical health examination. We're a year into the Trump presidency, and by this time, whether it was Clinton or Bush or Obama or Bush one, you know, even Reagan, well, the president got a clean bill of health today, or hey, look, they found some polyps. And we've got a president who locks himself in his bedroom at night, screams at housekeeping if they pick up one of his dirty shirts off the floor, and as I said before, stares in horror at his toothbrush because he's so paranoid, he's terrified he's going to be poisoned and won't eat food that was prepared for him, opting instead for McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken because it's prepared anonymously. And no one knows he's going to eat it. And the Republican Congress sits there day after day after day, perfectly content to let the sword of Damocles hang over the heads of the entire country. And that's terrifying. Yeah, by the way, a couple of notes. Jim says, have you forgotten Trump stated he could shoot someone in Fifth Avenue without consequence? Ask the group, please. I haven't forgotten it. But that's not an indication of his sanity. Meanwhile, Alma writes in and says, mental hygiene? This man will never be mentally hygienic. Pussy grabbing, prostitutes, golden showers, oh my God. No matter how you try to scrub this piece of work, there will never be mental cleanliness. There, you said it. Scraping his brains out with lobotomy will never work. He's empty, hollow, and black inside. Won't ever happen, Bob. Never. Oh, poo. Melancholy is not world-ending. Sincerely, Alma. Yeah, melancholia was simply there. It was a catch-all phrase that they used in the 19th century. You know, Churchill, over in the UK, Churchill said, Churchill talked about his bouts with the black dog. Or that he had been visited by the black dog. And those were the times when he just couldn't quite bring himself to get out of bed. It is astonishing. Go ahead, Sparky.
I just had to deal with the black dog.
Yours is real and nice and stands on tables.
And not a Led Zeppelin song either.
Right. But the idea that we're in the waning years of the second decade of the 21st century, and we have never bothered to think about the mental fitness of the occupancy of the most powerful office in the entire world. That's one of those moments when, as a Republican or a Democrat, everybody should be able to say, you know, that's probably not a good idea just to keep ignoring that.
I mean, it kind of gives you, you know, song Freud, you know? I mean, your blood runs cold when you think about that, if you think about it too much, you know? But, you know, not doing anything about it. You're right.
With a contrary opinion, Silent R. Lamar says, sorry to Rick, the system works right. It's for crazy people to run the U.S. And I guess some people might take, you know, that you don't have to be crazy to do this job, but it helps. We've all seen that.
Idiocracy.
Yeah. So it's a hell of a bind we find ourselves in. And at 20 minutes before the hour, a bind we find ourselves in here, too, because, as I keep mentioning, we started off like a house of fire with a bunch of challenges on the table. The $5 challenge, courtesy of Glenn, has still not been met. We need five people at $5 apiece. Brand new, never-before-contributed listeners, members of the community. And then overall, we got $320 to go to finish the week and not have a big hole to crawl out of come Moran Monday. Otherwise known as my religious holiday, the National Championship Day. But this is, you know, this is all very interesting stuff because, among other things, at least one member of the House of Representatives says there really are Republicans who are scared to death about Donald Trump's mental state. And that's John Garamendi of California. And I'm sure any minute now I'll get an email from somebody telling me that John Garamendi lacks ideological purity. Oh, well.
I wish he was my congressman instead of the idiot I got.
Garamendi is the former insurance commissioner of California. He's great.
I mean, he's in the next district down from me. But I get to stick with the idiot I got.
And he's not mincing words. he showed up on CNN and said there's a crazy in North Korea and a crazy in the White House. And he went on and he asked, I think it was Aaron Burnett, yeah, and said, what if you had an uncle that you, and that uncle did untruth 1,951 times in the last 11 months, and every morning you wake up wondering what in the hell is the tweet going to say this morning? That's what America faces. He said, it's downright frightening. We got a guy in the White House that is unstable and not fit for office. But then he said, I'm telling you, there are key people in the Republican Congress that are going, they're shaking their heads and going, oh, my God, look what he did today. They're concerned. They know what's happening. They know the lies. They know the untruths. Well, at what point in time, and I don't take any issue, and I respect Representative Garamendi for having the guts and the courage and the starch to say that in public, but at what point in time do these quietly concerned Republicans have a patriotic duty to say so? I mean, it is impossible that any one of those members of Congress who think that and happen to be Republicans, there's not a chance that any one of them isn't A, a millionaire, and B, doesn't have the most awesome freaking pension on earth because they've been in the Congress for a few terms. Even if you say it and you lose your job in the election, you get the warm comfort of knowing that in a moment of crisis, you stood up and did the right thing for your country. Where are those people?
Well, this is not our parents' Republican Party, Bob. These people are, you know, they've lost their bearings. They're Nazis. And I'll tell you, when the Republicans are going to, like, come out and say they're afraid of Donald Trump, once the bombs start flying. And it's too late then. That's the problem, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry to be a, you know, bright ray of sunshine, but, you know, that's the way I see it.
I mean, if you go back, for instance, to Dr. Strangelove, I know, movie reference, sorry. But you know what? We don't have any actual real life things to compare this to. So, okay, a movie will have to do. In Dr. Strangelove, it's everybody around the president who's knucking futs. President Merkin Markley, or whatever his name is, Merkin Muffley. He's sane. He's trying to keep the world from being burnt to a cinder. It's the General Buck Turgidsons who are nuts, and it's Dr. Strangelove himself. You know, mein Führer, I can walk. You know, animals can be bred und schlachtet. And Mr. President, we cannot have a mineshaft gap. And the president is trying to remain sane, and the same thing goes for the Soviet ambassador. He knows that the premier is drunk at his dacha, and he knows about the doomsday device. And he doesn't want the world to be burnt to a cinder. And so it's the Lulus around him that are creating the disaster. What happens when you flip that coin and it's the single most powerful decision maker who's nuts and everybody around him knows he's nuts and won't do anything about it? At that point in time, you're back in ancient Rome, aren't you?
Yeah, like Caligula, Nero. Yeah,
right, and this country can't stand a Caligula situation where the Praetorian cohort just sort of does what the Praetorian cohort did, and then goes and finds Claudius, hiding behind a drape. This country would, I was a baby, so I can't speak to it. But whatever. Terror and fear gripped this nation in November 1963 after the assassination of John Kennedy. What would happen if that happened to Donald Trump? This country would catch fire. I mean, there would be shooting. There would be gunplay. the maggots would go and get their guns and swear up and down that George Soros had started World War III.
What if he just drops dead one of these days?
Well, even then, the maggots will swear he was poisoned.
Yeah.
Blame it on McDonald's, then.
Alex Jones is basically, positing that,
the CIA got a mole into the local McDonald's where they knew he liked to eat from, and that's where they put the cyanide on the hamburger. False flag.
Jeez.
Everybody knew he liked KFC. Everybody knew which KFC they ordered from.
Oh, God.
Bucket of chicken head to the White House.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
They got to know when the guys with sunglasses walk in and pick up an order. They know it's got to be for the president.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of other people. But see, that's the other thing. He likes his KFC. Dumb bastard. He's got such a pissant palate, he can't even go with Popeyes.
Oh, it's too spicy. It makes my little cat's anus mouth tingling burn.
Oh, and I see Popeyes has got a ghost pepper cheese chicken now.
I saw a ghost pepper chicken. I don't think there's any cheese involved.
Just have it. Ghost pepper, yeah.
Yeah, so... And you know what? I picked up some ghost pepper cheese today, Sparky.
Oh, you found a place to get it?
The Wiggling Pig had little vacuum-sealed wedges of ghost pepper cheddar. And so I got it, and I'm just wondering how it's going to be. Maybe shred some onto a salad or into some mashed potatoes or something like that. Yum, yum. Hey, big thanks going out to Juanita in Ohio. Thank you, Juanita. That takes us down to only $305 to go to finish the week. Thank you, Juanita. Thank you so very much. Note coming from James in Illinois. Applying pressure. The only kind of pressure to apply is simply to investigate wrongdoing. Harry S. Truman had a motto, always do right. It will please many and amaze the rest. We can't appear to be the conniving party. That method is the province of Republicans. And the right thing to do is to make sure. Look, if the guy passes his mental status exam, and his brain isn't actually hollowed out by spirochetes or affected by Alzheimer's or some other form of genetically transmitted dementia, then I guess he goes on being president. But don't the American people have a right to know?
Well, we have to take it to the streets first, I guess.
Is this the kind of thing? I guess if you could get 50,000 people to surround the Capitol and demand that surround the White House and demand that something be done. It's a tough time of year to have to do that, though.
Well, we're supposed to have another women's march on the 20th of January, right?
That's my understanding, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how that goes down. How many cities participate. If it's anything like the last time, it'll make the news. Got to make the news at least.
Oh, the news will cover it. Terry in Saigon says, which is the stronger force? Guns to rubes or cannabis to connoisseurs? I'm afraid to answer that one.
And they just some new gun laws just went into effect here that got the rubes pissed off.
Meanwhile, Arthur riffing on the whole McDonald's Alex Jones thing says, everybody knows the Big Mac always has sesame seed buns. Why did the president's Big Mac not have any sesame seeds? Because that's where the anti-venom is usually put. The president was given a Big Mac without the usual anti-venom. All right. Yeah, okay. You worked hard for that, Arthur.
Yeah, but it doesn't mention he eats Big Macs. It's cheeseburgers. all I ever heard.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we know he likes his KFC. We know he likes his.
I love the taco bowl from the grill at Trump Tower, because I love Mexicans. They're going to pay for the wall.
Silent R. Lamar says, please, Bob, Trump would step out on a balcony and wave at the group. Yes. And might one of these days he might do it naked or in a clown suit. Or maybe with his hair not done by Ivanka and just hanging limply there around his head, as I said, looking like Riff Raff from the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Well, Easter's coming up. Maybe he'll do something weird from the balcony of the White House.
Oh, God. Oh, hey, his first, I guess, is it? No, well, kind of, no. The Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Holiday is coming up. That will be fraught with potential for disaster. I mean, it's like the reporting in the book, and you know, the White House is saying it's a terrible book. You know, okay, you don't like it. What part of it's not true? Because people are chiming in, people are chiming in and pointing out just exactly which parts of this can be corroborated.
Speaking of the book, the author will be on the Last Word on Monday night.
Yeah, on Lawrence O'Donnell's program. Yeah, he was on. Yes. He was on today this morning, and that's the that's the other part of this. It's kind of like what Donald Rumsfeld said about equipment or the military. You know, you go to war with the army you have, not the army you want, which was deeply insulting at the time. Well, we get revelations of the inner workings of the first year of the Trump White House from the author we got, not the author we wanted, because this guy is roundly despised and loathed inside New York media circles because he's willing to burn anything for any reason to advance his own, to advance his own brand, so to speak.
Well, I say he hit the ball out of the park with this one.
Well, if he's got the notes and the tapes to back it up, he absolutely did. And it'll be interesting to see if anybody files a lawsuit.
His number one bestseller on Amazon, I guess.
Oh yeah. Well, that's why they moved up the release. Then there's the former Trump aide, Sam Nunberg. Was part of the campaign. Chris Hayes interviewed him. Joyanne Reed interviewed him. She was sitting in for Chris because Chris has a new baby on the ground. Just a precious little pumpkin.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Do you have a Tesla coil there on your sound?
No.
Every time you talk, it feels like there's arcs and sparks going off into my headphones.
I don't know what that is.
The buzz, maybe, you know, it's,
you might, you might, like, you, like, you might have like, a crack, you might have a cracked, a cracked transducer or a cracked speaker in your head, in your cans.
I don't know. It comes from you and you alone.
Weird. No, sorry. Fresh out of Tesla coils. Yeah. Fresh out of Tesla coils. Nunberg, Joyanne Reed interviewed him. Nunberg said, it's not that he doesn't know what he doesn't know, it's that he knows what he doesn't know, but he doesn't care. He's a complete pain in the ass to work for. He's terrible to work for. And in the past, the same guy has referred to Trump as an idiot. But the worst part of the book is that everybody who works around him says the same thing. And thank you very kindly to Brian, who just took us down to 280 to go. Thank you, Brian. And thank you to another individual, I don't know if this is to be anonymous or not, who took us down from 280 to 230. We'll be all the way caught up to Thursday at 30 bucks more. So that's huge. That is tremendous. Thank you so very much. Note coming in from Darlene in Connecticut. Subject line, McDonald's. Didn't some guy do an experiment where he lived off of McDonald's food for like 3 to 6 months and his organs started to fail? Yes. That was Morgan Spurlock. The book and documentary was Super Size Me. And it proved to be an absolute health disaster for him. And did significant damage to McDonald's, too. But, yeah, it's not good for you. It's not okay. And if all you do is eat McDonald's, you will get sick. I almost never go in there. About the only time I ever go to McDonald's is around breakfast time because I have this weak-willed fascination with their bucket gravy. But if I eat a double cheeseburger, I'll hate myself. It just rips me to pieces. Yeah, bucket gravy.
Well, my McDonald's doesn't have it. I couldn't go to my McDonald's today anyway.
You can't get biscuits and gravy?
They had a fire yesterday. So they were shut down. I was supposed to reopen this afternoon. I don't know if they reopened, but they had a fire in their cooking equipment. So it shut them down for a day.
Oh, okay. But there's no biscuits and gravy on the menu at all?
No, or I'd order it. I go there sometimes for the big breakfast or the pancake breakfast.
Oh, their sausage, as far as fast food gravy goes, that stuff's kind of magic. It's all sausagey and black peppery and got a little red pepper flakes in it and stuff. It's not terrible.
I used to go to the Wiener Schnitzel in Reading. They had a dynamite biscuits and gravy.
Of course, we don't have those around here. I don't live in civilization.
There's a lot of things that you got and I don't have.
Bob, you were talking about mental and physically challenged people. Among the white-wing conservative Christians, that's been something that they have supported for many, many years, even before Nazi Germany, is sterilizing these people where they can't reproduce.
Oh, absolutely. Nazi Germany got a lot of their ideas for how to treat the disabled from the United States, just like they got their ideas for genocide from the United States and how we treated the indigenous people in this country.
And, you know, you won't hear about that today, but that's the way it was, and probably the way it still is, if the people would admit what they're truly thinking. Remember, a lot of these white wing Christians have no problem with just standing back and watching somebody die.
Well, look, they introduced legislation, Charlie, and that would ban doctors from performing abortions solely because they found out that the baby had Down syndrome. And on its face, you go, well, you know, I can get behind that. But then you stop to think, well, wait a minute. The Republican Party doesn't give a tinker's damn about what happens to that Down's baby after the baby is born. And you realize the complete and total hypocrisy of the whole thing.
Isn't that a new law in Ohio?
It won't last. It'll be stricken, I'm quite confident. By the way, a couple of notes. Brother Deacon Asa says, forget about all the buffoonery surrounding the fucking president sending out for fast food. For a self-proclaimed billionaire, he doesn't even have the taste to enjoy the cuisine in the White House. And he does not trust the White House kitchen. Dig that. The president and the first lady get to select their own chef. And the White House kitchen is the most capably staffed, abundantly staffed kitchen probably on planet Earth. But he doesn't, Asa says he doesn't even have the taste to enjoy the cuisine in the White House. As a diehard foodie, I happen to know those are some world-class chefs inside the White House. Goddamn imbecile. And it's the truth. I mean, when I read the part about how he's afraid he's going to be poisoned, all of a sudden I understood a little bit better why he likes to have his New York Strip burnt to shoe leather.
At his own hotel, right?
Right. Because he's afraid that it might get some bug out of it if it isn't a parching 250 degrees Fahrenheit in the middle.
Has anybody counted the amount of state dinners he's had? I can't remember one.
I haven't seen that much coverage of them.
I mean, it seems like when Obama was in, there was like four or five or half a dozen a year for visiting dignitaries, but nobody wants to visit him anymore, I guess.
Well, the homicidal maniac from the Philippines, I guess, is busy killing people. And by the way, I have good news. It is 2 minutes past the hour, and yes, the Friday on the front porch miracle has been accomplished. Hallelujah.
Go buy some propane.
And thank you very kindly to our buddy Fab. Thank you so very much. We're finished with fundraising for the week. So this means that we've got a better chance of having fundraising free end of January. Thank you. Thank you, Frank. Thank you so very much. And thank you to everybody who chipped in and chimed in to make this week a success. This first week of a brand new broadcast year. Thank you so very much. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time in keeping this conversation going. I recognize the value of that precious finite time. Thank you. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks, Sparky, for moderating the group. And thanks, as ever, for moderating in the chat room. Thank you earlier this week to our good buddy and pinch hit utility midweek chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back for a shortened version of the program, a two-hour version of the program on Monday. Because remember, for me, Monday is a religious holiday. Bye now.